On today's episode of The Good Word, Jason Goff joins me to discuss MVP expectations of both from the Nuggets and Thunder. Physical basketball has returned. How is the Pacers taking care of the Cavaliers? Where's Giannis going? And we get to see Michael Jordan back on our airwaves. All that and a little bit more coming up right now. Welcome to The Good Word. My name is Vincent Goodwill, senior NBA reporter for Yahoo Sports. A bit of business before we get into today's show. Of course, we are on YouTube, so rate, review, subscribe to us there, as well as all the places you consume your audio podcast. It is a Monday. I am headed to Oklahoma City, but I am joined by my man, Jason Goff, live from Chicago. What's going on, bro?
What's happening, man? How you doing? Good to talk to you. Good to see you. Good to hear from you. You know, these NBA playoff streets, I listen to the pod, but I miss, you know, shooting you texts. This, and for anybody out there who's in Vincent Goodwill's life, you know, do it like I do it. Save all your questions and what happened in this scenario for after the postseason, okay? Because I know you're besieged right now with all the things that happen. You're traveling to foreign territories. You're behind enemy lines in Oklahoma City. I'm sure Red Lobster is the finest restaurant in the town. You know what I'm saying? I'm not going to bother you while you're at work, but I know I got some things. I'm glad we're going to do this today because I got some questions about what I've been seeing and, you know, who the next guys are supposed to be.
Ooh, I like that. Because look, I think we are watching a completely different sport right now than the sport we normally watch from October to April. Yeah. And I like it. And I really, really like it because you find out who's built for it and you find out who got tired legs. And that's why we are starting with Oklahoma City and Denver yesterday. Because that was, Jason, I don't think people realize, as a frame of reference, overtime game on Friday night, early game on Sunday. So it's less than the 48-hour window.
Right.
I get it. Right? People are upset. They're saying you should have got more rest, all sort of type of stuff. I'm not going to go old man yelling at cloud, but Jason, I remember as late as 1996 in the second round, the Bulls played at Madison Square Garden on a Saturday, on a Sunday, they played a back-to-back game during the playoffs. Hey, you better strap it up. We had MSG. Jason, this is where we find out who really is made for regular season basketball. Who's really not conditioned well enough for playoff conditions. And I'm not saying Nikola Jokic is not one of those guys, but I am simply saying from carrying the load that he's been carrying for the past couple of months, he's had the three worst playoff games that I've seen. And having the chance to go up 3-1 and put a stranglehold on this series that puts you in the driver's seat, it puts you up to say, okay, all we got to do is handle a game six at home. Denver had no legs. OKC grinded out a win, which we're not sure Oklahoma City was capable of doing. Like, I felt like game four was the series. But what do you want to start with, Jokic and his performance, or do you want to start with where Oklahoma City sits now that they've tied that series 2-2?
Well, let's start with Jokic, right? Because when he won his first MVP and when he won his championship, what we did, and I talked about this on my pod, what we did was, okay, this is about to be a run, y'all. It's about to be, his game is going to grow and age well because the whole joke, you can't jump over a piece of paper, all this other stuff. And then, slowly but surely, over these last couple of years, we've seen how reliant not only the team has been, but the organization has been in terms of roster. Uncle Jeff, go out, get out of here. Bruce Brown, you got a role too. KCP, see you in Orlando, right? And these pieces that you need throughout the regular season, so that by the time you get to the playoffs, you know, hey, big fella, go get everything that you need to get. Well, when he was getting crazy triple doubles, like not 25, 12, and 10, even though that's amazing, but like these 30, 20s, and 15s on a Tuesday against the Jazz in the regular season, you know, I was like, hey, y'all, this is a lot. Usage rate, like what's going on here? Yep. And you get to this point of the season, and now, you know, the thing that I love about Oklahoma City, they switch with intention. Like, you see these teams switching because they have to or because you're just used to doing it. It's like a dance, the pick and roll dance that everybody plays where it's like, run through that. Get over that, right? They switch with intention. So now they're switching. Oh, Jalen Williams, hey, you got six of them joints. Go get him. Go foul him. Go make him work. You know, Chet Holmgren, make his ass run up and down. Like, there are certain pieces of the game that maybe three or four years ago, we could have forecasted, like, is it going to be too much for him? You know, we talk about his build, and we talk about how, you know, how big he is, and, you know, how he doesn't look, he's not the greatest athlete. Well, at some point, when you're going up against the greatest athletes in the world, it's going to wear on you. In three straight games, shooting 40% or less, that's not a coincidence at all. So I love it, man. And on top of it, like you mentioned, you see the Bulls thing, you know, the back-to-back games, you also find out, you know, and my grandfather told me, hey, party like a man, work like a man, okay? Like, you moving and grooving in the playoffs, you might have a different – I'm not talking about Jokic here. I'm not talking about the Nuggets.
Yeah.
But you moving and grooving, and throughout the regular season, you know, we all got routines, baby. You know, you pull up, all right, this is the city I'm going to chill in, or this is the city I'm going to turn it up in, all right? I had a bad game. I'm going to get nice in this city. Like, it's a different vibe, you know, depending on what you got going on at home and just everything. And on top of that, you could see the mental wear. I've never seen Nikola Jokic look like Luka Doncic after every call now, right? Like, the moment Mike Malone went bye-bye, there seemed to be a shift, not only in leadership, but in vocal leadership for him. So I think all the energy is being sapped out of him and taken out of him. And, you know, for this greatest big man of his generation and one of the greats of all time, like, this is the test right here. Like, this is the time. And, like, I agree with you, brother. I was watching that game again this morning, and I sat there, and at the 11-0 run, I'm like, how did they lose this game? Like, you shot that poorly. You played that poorly in the first quarter. You still were in it in the fourth quarter. And then all of a sudden, an 11-0 run happens. You know, like, Michael Porter Jr., come on down anytime you're ready. I know you got the shoulder, but if you're out there, you're out there. Right? Aaron Gordon doing everything he possibly can, knocking down threes. Like, this is one of those moments where if they lose this series, you had it right there in your hands.
Look, there's inflection points, I think, Jason, and every single series, like in the Boston-New York series, it was definitely game three where you're like, okay, the Celtics are done playing with you guys. Like, stop wasting my time. Like, that's what I want to tell the Celtics. Stop wasting my time. I'm glad I got to come to New York for obvious reasons, but don't waste my time. Like, y'all, you are wasting my emotional, practical bandwidth. Now, for the Denver Nuggets, they have been such an emotional sort of this roller coaster, Jay. Yeah. From three games left in the season, you fire your coach. Then you go into this seven-game war with the Clippers, right? A war where, let's be perfectly honest, that game seven skews the way a lot of people viewed that series. But they get out of that series by the skin of their chinny-chin-chin, okay? Mm-hmm. Then you go right into the series with Oklahoma City. You steal game one. You get your doors blown off in game two. Overtime in game three, how much do you have left? And if you're Jokic, I hate to say it like this because, Jason, this is what we do. We put everything on Giannis. We say, Giannis, who we're going to talk about later, you 100%. Won a grand total of one playoff series since winning your championship. Steph, don't matter if Draymond is acting a fool. Don't matter if you have Jonathan Kuminga who's not doing much. We're putting this on you because you're the guy, LeBron. Right. We don't have to say about all the wreck we put on LeBron, how much is earned compared to how much he invites. But when you're the guy and you're traveling in these rarefied airs, we're telling you, you have to play up to expectations. And if you are fatigued, that's the one thing I won't say, do we accept fatigue over poor performance? I'm not exactly sure what's the easier thing for the public to sort of absorb. But we can't, because we can't see fatigue. Like, we can see it, like the shots going up short. You're not being able to get back on defense. You're not playing with that pop. But if we see poor performance, all we're going to judge is poor performance. I'll tell you this. They playing that man like he's Shaq.
Yeah.
Assembly line defense. Hey, you got six fouls. You got six fouls. You got two hands. Everybody's coming in on him and telling him, hey, if you're the guy, you're going to have to show us that you're the guy with all these hands and all these eyeballs and nobody else is. Like, Jamal Murray stepped up and then he faded down the stretch because everybody is beat. except for that young team over there who has a little bit more energy, right?
Yeah.
That's how I saw that.
Yo, the Oklahoma City Thunder defense, what they can do, and with, you know, they bided their time this season, got Alex Caruso healthy, you know Alex's body, and I heard this from a linebacker back in the day, Bobby Carpenter. I did a show with him back in the day, and he talked to me about how not everybody's body is meant to play football or play basketball. And it's not a shot at that person. It's just bodies are built differently. Like we talk about Derrick Rose in this city and how much basketball he played before he was a pro and how much your body breaks down. You know,
that odometer starts well before you get to the league.
Hell yeah. And that Oklahoma City Thunder team has so many bodies they throw at you. Right. And whether it's Cason Wallace, Isaiah Joe, Aaron Wiggins, like dudes are digging that, like the perimeter help that they have defensively, I think, gets lost in the sauce of like what they do. Like usually you see defense, you think, OK, closeouts, hedging, you know, making sure guys aren't splitting pick and rolls. You know, there's certain principles, foot in the paint, all that stuff. Man, they throwing dudes at you. Dagno is like, okay, I got another cat. Like we grew up in the 80s and 90s where we watched playoff basketball. It was like, all right, you got your wing, your big, and your guard that's coming off the bench. You know, the other five dudes, cop squat. You can wear a suit under the warm-ups. It's not gonna matter. They still going 10 deep. So if you get to this point with the youngest team in the league, a team that doesn't know what it doesn't know, because you saw that actually, I think, in game four as well. Like, they didn't know that they should have had their doors blown off the way they were playing.
They were bracing for something that never came.
Yeah. So, yeah, man, this Oklahoma City's got that vibe to them that, to me, Boston had last year, where it's like, if you look at everything, kind of like with the Eagles this year in the Super Bowl, it's like, no, that's the better team. But
you should win it.
Right,
like
right,
the element of everything is telling us that you are good enough, that you should win. Here's the other point about Jokic that I just thought about. When we think about Shaq and we think about some of the other bigs, they're only catching the ball in certain places, so there's only so much of an effect that a small guard can have on a Shaq. When Shaq catches on a low block, he's going to take a couple dribbles, turn and spin or whatever it is, right?
Right.
Jokic is catching the ball at the elbow, guard territory. Three-point line, guard territory. Right wing, guard territory. So that means all those guys that you named, in addition to Shea, J-Dub, Lou Dort, all those hands coming and slapping at you. And every time you have to account for a guard coming to slap at you, that's energy. That's a resource that you have that keeps eating away at you and eating, you know, sapping away at you, and it takes away from your focus. So by the time you get down the lane and you catch the ball on the block, oh yeah, all I got is these two big dudes on me. That's even more energy. Like
it's a gauntlet every possession.
It's a gauntlet. It's a finite resource that, whether that's, like you said, Jason, whether that is the function of team building or that's a function of the way that that team mechanically works with Jokic as the lone hub, that puts you in a spot that unless he's at optimal performance, optimal conditioning, you're going to have problems. I'm not counting them out in this series. Let me make this perfectly clear, because I think Oklahoma City is growing and growing up right before us when we were saying, man, I don't know how long it's going to keep for us to keep saying in 3 years they're going to get it. Sooner or later, they ain't saying we coming. They saying we here. Yeah. Right? I'm not putting it past Denver to win this series. They could very well win this series. But when you have Jokic having three of his six worst playoff games happening in succession, it's very hard to pull the nose up and say, you know what, this plane ain't crashing.
The thing that the basketball gods, you know, they've cheated us over the years, right? We never got a chance to see LeBron and Kobe face off, you know, in the NBA finals, like those kinds of things that stick in my craw. What I wanted to happen was I wanted Denver to win that game as it progressed, where you're like, okay, they're close at home. They got, you know, the reigning MVP against the current MVP. I wanted them to go down 3-1 so we could find out what Shea is all about. Because I'm going to tell you now, you know, you look at the box score and you look at how he performed. I'm telling you, that fourth quarter, those 9 points, They came in a couple of bunches, but there were stretches where he missed a turnaround jump shot. He missed a step back three. He missed a drive to the hoop. And I'm like, oh, okay.
He missed two shots in a row from the same spot. Yes. And I was like, oh, he's trying to take it. But he didn't have it. And I was like, oh, this is the game where we're finding out that this you're not as real as we think you are.
And that's ooh, baby. And Vinny, you know, the crazy part is, We are saturated with everything being hate and disrespect instead of it being like, you know, reckoning points, like you mentioned, inflection points or moments where like, oh, this is it now. Because he is a beautiful player to watch, but you got 68 wins. You blew everybody out all season long. They played the fewest clutch games of any team in the NBA this year. You get to this moment where I'm like, oh. Okay, let's find out. Like, there was a whole lot of Jordan 88 conversation in terms of the numbers.
Yes, there was. Right? And yes, there was. So.
But now, when it's time, go do your Boston, you know, number. Like, go do against, you know, Elo. Go do your Knicks series. Go do your wars with Indiana and Reggie Miller. I'm not saying, obviously, these things are going to happen if these guys go along to the championship and have, I mean, Shea versus, you know, Anthony Edwards. I mean, that's ooh, box office, right?
But, Give it to me.
And I'm going to tell you something right now.
Go ahead and say it. Go ahead. Give it to me because I know where you're going.
I don't care. Left ankle and all. America. Okay? Because I am going with Anthony. And I love Shea Gilgeous-Alexander. Everything sounds like hate when you're trying to, you know, really break this thing down. But I was 3-1 with Shea down 3-1. And getting the MVP here, because everybody thinks we're going to get the MVP.
Yeah, he's getting it.
And having the young boys and going back to the crib, like, it would have made for some magic, right? It's going to be great theater no matter what, right? You got a best of three series now. But I was looking at that down the stretch. And then when you get to inside the NBA after, and Ernie said he had 9 points in the fourth quarter, I'm like, damn, did he play that well? Because I remember
it didn't feel like it. It didn't feel like it.
It did not. And I love watching him play, but I love when guys meet that moment. And you know, the Nuggets, poor shooting and some issues, I thought substitution-wise, they kept some dudes in there a little bit longer. Yep, like Peyton Watson at some point got to come up out of there because they're using him on offense as, you know, you play.
Diminishing returns after a certain point with a guy
like that. I was hoping that thing turned in a different way just from a theater perspective. But, you know, Oklahoma City did exactly what they needed to do down the stretch. That's a tough-ass team, too, man. That's a bunch of tough young dudes. I rock with them. But I wanted to see it get a little spooky for them a little bit.
Look, man, I'm going to tell you like this. Everybody who never watched 90s, early 2000s, like pre-2005 playoff basketball, you find out how hard it is to score.
Man.
You find out how hard it is, especially the big free throw line guys, because the free throw line guys are seeking out contact, not so they can play through it, but so they can get to the line, they can get you in the penalty, they can get you playing on your heels.
Remember getting two fouls on a big man and having his ass sit down for the rest of the half?
No can do. It's not happening no more. You're going to have to play through it. The ref's going to look at you and say, yeah, that's a foul, but we ain't calling everything.
Mm-hmm.
And you're going to have to play basketball and playing through contact, especially when you're slight of build. You know what I mean? And I think Shea's a fabulously skilled player.
Amazing.
But this is a different game when you don't have that in your back pocket. When part of your game is, I'm going to draw contact and I'm going to get to the line and I'm going to play with an advantage, a mental advantage and a physical advantage, when you no longer have that tool in your belt, It's a different sport. I hate to say it to people. It is just a different sport. And I love the fact, Jason, that it's a, like, physical basketball has returned.
It's back. Yeah. That's what I was about to say. Like, it's different than, you know, I liken it to, and I know it don't go like this, but you know, I like to make these scenarios up in my head. I liken it to Adam Silver, you know, being on his patio, you know, grand patio, the luxuries that being a lawyer and the commissioner has afforded him, you know, having a smoke, you know, cigar, whatever his vibe is, you know, a glass of wine. And he looks over at his family and goes, I'm going to show their asses all this 3-point shit. I've been talking too many this, too many that, too many possessions, and the game ain't what it's supposed to be. Hey, pick up. Hey, somebody give me the bat phone real quick. Give me the phone. Hey, listen, what we're going to do now is make sure that nothing gets called. Hand checks, bumps on screens. If they flop, look them right in the face and say, get back on deep. Like, it's been such such a moment of nostalgia for me where, you know, the lens and the frame that we, you know, because we got to keep up with the times. Like, we've told ourselves to condition ourselves that, hey, 45 threes is just what everybody does because that's what everybody does. But, man, when you get to plug the Atari back in, huh? When you get the Nintendo games, when you get the Duck Hunt with the gun, an item that they would never sell nowadays to kids. You know what I'm saying? Like when you get to go back to the old school a little bit, you know, like, yeah, okay.
Street Fighter 2. You can give me all the newfangled stuff. You give me Street Fighter 2, baby, I am not leaving anywhere.
I'm here. Because what the best is watching who wanted to play like this the whole time, right? Mm-hmm. Like you see the guy.
Everybody say they do, but they don't really want it because they don't know no better.
You see the dudes who are like, wait a minute. I thought Josh Hart was a rough and tumble dude. Why is he looking at the ref for calls? Because rough and tumble ain't rough and tumble. That's why Isaiah Stewart has him sitting on the sideline. This was the series that I was made for. Like, why is my body giving up on me right now? I'm down with it, man. I'm down. Give me these ridiculous 88 to 87 scores all over again. Like, I know the Vegas odds makers and the sports books going crazy with these over and under. It's like, oh, we got to bring this down now. This is a different game we're watching.
Look, I think, for one, Adam Silver, luckily, maybe a couple years too late or whatever the case may be, Jason, Adam, there was an overcorrection, I think, in how the game was being played to, okay, the fans want to see this open, this sort of open and all the scoring and everything else. I think what fans want to see is competitive competition. And if you allow some of the physicality, some of the struggle, like that's one of the reasons that Americans love football is because it is a struggle.
Violence. And
if you take away the struggle of it, then fans aren't going to look around and say, what makes him different than me? Like, if you're giving me, they wrongly assume, right? Because you're not as skilled as they are. Nobody's as skilled as they are. They're the best in the world at this. But the view of it is, man, they're calling fouls on every play. You can't touch them. You know, it's open shots. They're carrying the ball. They're traveling. Wait, what's this? What's a gather step now? Like, all the things. Right. And it was an overcorrection. And not at Adam and the rest of the league is seeing, oh, wait a minute. We can have some confrontation. We got some physicality. I mean, you're going to talk about the Pacers and the Cavs and all that physicality and blah, blah, blah. People are okay with it. The fans are fine with it. They like it. They're not tripping on it.
Swing, swing, and an open three, and the jubilation and the things that it does to a crowd. Bring back body to body dunks again. Like, woo, when Donovan Mitchell cocks it back, when Jamal Murray tried to last game. Like, there are certain moments that will always be showtime.
Ant took the air out of Chase Center with poor Kevon Looney.
Well. Listen, there are certain beings that are supreme. No matter what they are off the court, in the public eye, there are certain cats who get on the floor, get on the stage. Like, you know what I mean? Like, you feel however you wanted to feel about Prince when that purple light came on and that first chord hit, that first guitar riff hit, you knew what time it was. Like, this is the stage for, like you mentioned, the struggle. Can you fight through it? Like, there's something to be said for, okay, I made the right decision. You know, the ball moved. It got to the open person, and hopefully that person does their job. And then there's another thing for splitting this double team, Mark. I'm splitting this pick and roll, Mark Price style, throwing that thing ahead of me, catching up to it, and seeing that they. By the way, double bigs are back. How many lineups have we seen where we got two bigs on the floor again? Like, I come from the oldest Thorpe Hakeem Olajuwon days where it's like, yeah, power forwards are 6'10", centers are 7 feet, and you get three other dudes out there in the back line. Like, Evan Mobley being put at the top of a 3-2 zone. Okay, I got to get through that. And you mean to tell me when I get to that rim, I got Jared Allen to meet?
It's still another tall dude. We gonna get to them tall skinny dudes.
I'm so glad that this is happening to them. I am. The hater in me is getting ready to come out. Yeah.
Okay, we go.
I'm so happy this is happening. We're gonna let
Buck Nasty get to the in the player haters ball. We'll continue on the other side of the break, listeners of the Good Word. Welcome back to The Good Word with Jason Goff J. I gave up on the Cavs-Pacers game. If you're not caring, why should I? Like, that's pretty much the way that I looked at it. Like, I followed the game after halftime. I'm like, it's a 50-point game. Like, what's happening? They got it down to 26. No.
You are worried what the three-point line can do in this day and age of modern basketball with leads? Come on, Vinny.
Hey, guess what? Put it like this. You tell me if we're on the same page here. Usually. Are the Cavs being exposed as a team that lacks something physical or lacks something mental? Because now they're down 3-1 against a Pacers team that we don't get the Pacers the thought of, oh, they're a contender, because they never bottomed out. They kind of built from the middle, and I think that kind of changes how you view things. But they're skilled and they're tough, even if they can be a bit front runner-ish. They do have skill and they do have toughness. They got both. Do we view the Cavs as a team that lacks personnel or a Cavs team that lacks mindset?
I think it might be a little bit of both, and I hate to hedge it like that. You know, any team that Donovan Mitchell's on, he gonna get his. And if the ball ain't moving while he's getting his, the ball might come to you in the fourth quarter and you haven't gotten yours yet. And you don't know what that thing feels like. You don't know the tempo of the game. You don't know, like, there's certain, when Max Strus and what happened to Donovan, where you go into halftime, you got the ankle situation, you're down by 40, you probably, hey, let's save it for another day. I would have loved to have known if Kenny Atkinson would have thought, if this thing was a little closer, would Donovan been available, right? We knew it all year long. They're a terrific regular season team, but we were still looking at Boston. We're like, hey, if New York not only can get healthy, but if Tibbs can make sure they ain't running to the ground. Like, Cleveland has that feel to me where you look at, like, some of those Portland teams back in the day. Where it's like, yeah, I love them. I like them a lot, but I don't know if it's championship metal from a mental standpoint or sometimes from a physical standpoint. They got the tall dudes and Jared Allen and Evan Mobley, but we find out sometimes them tall dudes can be a little light in the ass and be guarded by guys who are 5 inches shorter than them. Anytime you could switch them harder. First of all, Nesmith, listen, I like a lot of players in the NBA. Certain dudes who I'm like, hey, anytime that cat tries his ass off, he knocks down shots. You know, he make a nice, pretty, because I looked up, I'm like, how much money is Nesmith making? He's making a pretty penny, you know, comparatively speaking. But those, Nembhard, Nesmith, they got some dudes on that team, who TJ McConnell, who just might look you in the face and be like, I'm tougher than you and I'm going to show you, right? So when Donovan
white dudes, I'm this is the ultimate compliment, I promise you. Like, it's like the Eminem line from Renegade. Do you know what I had to do to get here? I don't think you do.
Real deal.
That's TJ McConnell. That's Peyton Pritchard. That's Peyton Pritchard in Boston might be the one dude that I don't got to worry about scaring, right? Because he gives zero F's. This is the biggest compliment. I promise.
Yeah.
It's probably 100%. Plenty of dudes. 100%. The little white dudes have been tried to be steered away from this sport for a long time.
Man, go play baseball.
Go play baseball. Go be a quarterback. Nah, dog. Go be a kicker. Nah, dog. I'm a hooper. I'm going to show you. I'm going to bust y'all asses. And those are the dudes that you don't worry about at all. It is amazing. And somehow, Jason, the two black guys were going to get turned into warriors here.
Yeah, no, I understand. Yes, don't worry. I got all the think pieces coming out. Man, Vinny and Jason really love white basketball. We got to do something about those two. You know what I mean? Like, TJ McConnell, tough as nails, like you mentioned. And this is the other thing too. their best player in Tyrese Halliburton doesn't have to go crazy scoring wise for their team offensively to score. They put up 80 in the half, and you're like, how much Tyrese have? You're like, he had a decent first half, but everybody else can do their thing. When Miles Turner is allowed to be that kind of big, where he's rim running and also rim protecting, like, you got to match that if you're Jaren Allen. You can't match that with three-point acuity. And then, you know, Evan Mobley, man, I was in love with Evan Mobley through the draft process, the beginning of his career. And then we saw that there was an offensive ceiling, but defensively, the dude changes games. You put a 7-foot dude with that kind of wingspan at the top of his zone. Like, what are we talking about here? Like, this is schematically what you're doing here. And then having, you know, Jared Allen in the short corner and having DeAndre Hunter in the other corner. Like, they got some things. It's just, I don't know if I believe in them fully. In terms of if Donovan's not doing it, who else can? And Darius Garland is a terrific player. I know he's got the toe injury, but everybody banged up, right? Like, be a legend in this moment. And he did not have a good game. He was a liability out there for most of the game. Like, they're in a tough position. And like you mentioned, the Indiana Pacers, terrific front-running team. Like, they're going to talk crazy when they're hitting shots, and it's going to get loud, and they're going to quiet your crowd when they're on the road. Like, Tyrese Halliburton has the balls enough to shoot a shot and understand that the repercussions of it are only positive, right, at the end of games, right? Because, hey, we ain't supposed to be here. We're the Pacers. We're the young upstart team. I'm the most overrated player in the NBA. Right, and all they're doing is staring down these dudes like, all right, what's next? I'm down with it, man. I'm down.
I'm fascinated by some of the repercussions after the series, but most importantly during the series. 3 points I want to make. One, Rick Carlisle coaching his behind off against the coach of the year, Kenny Atkinson, right? Because we all said Kenny Atkinson, you know, he look at what he unlocked beyond J.B. Bickerstaff. Looks like y'all going to get eliminated in the second round, and that got J.B. Bickerstaff fired, right? All right, cool. Point two, Evan Mobley, who I have long said, whatever stock you want to sell, I will buy. I wanted him, because even there was a point where even Tim Duncan looked at Karl Malone and said, I'm about to give you 40, because there's no way you're guarding me. Like, I think it was Karl Malone elbowed Dave Robinson in the head, gave him a concussion, and then Tim Duncan just went Super Saiyan Duncan and unleashed that mean in him. Slim Duncan, I need to see that mean. They can't put a 6'5" guard on you. And then when you back them down, it looks so unnatural to use your natural strength and girth that you wind up putting a little too much into it and they call an offensive foul. Like, you just gonna have to, you're going to have to dominate your matchup for you to even get back into this series. You're going to take Pascal Siakam and say, hey, dog, this ain't happening for you. Like, those are the things that sort of stand out for me. And yeah, Tyrese Halliburton, Aaron Nesmith. Don't forget, you still got Kung Fu Master over there, James Johnson. Like, hey.
Hey, when it popped off. When it popped off, you see who was rubbing Ben Matherin's shoulders. He was giving us some of that. You got Houdini the glow. Brown. Yeah. He's giving you some of that. You got the glow. You saw the shoulders getting rubbed. Like, hey, all my Kung Fu attributes.
Paid off.
By osmosis come through you, Ben Matherin, so you can go take out DeAndre. I didn't think he wanted any DeAndre Hunter smoke, though. I didn't think he wanted.
Oh no! Look! When you're laughing and the other dude is not, that's a surefire sign. Yeah. Like, I'd be more afraid of the dude who's crying than the dude who's laughing.
100%.
Because if you're crying, that means I'm about to catch all the emotion and heat of everything that you've been holding in your entire life. Yeah. All my life, I has to fight.
Clearly read DeAndre Hunter's lips when he said, I see you in the back.
And
he's like, I see you in the back. And I was like, ooh, we haven't had I'll see you in the back moments in a while.
No, we have not.
We haven't had a KG Carmelo. We haven't had
meet at the bus.
Kyle Lowry and so who Kyle Lowry do that too? Where he's like, yeah, come in the back. Yeah, I think Ben Simmons. We need more of those. But, I need some suspensions,
As we say that, Adam Silver, if you're listening, NBA Uh-oh. League Office, if you're listening.
Sorry, guys.
No, not that. Because these two things that we've been talking about, right? The physical play leads to the possible confrontation, leads to the confrontation, leads to, oh my God, the people don't want to watch it or whatever the case may be.
You're scaring the white folks.
Yeah, exactly, exactly, exactly.
That's all it was. Hey, we got to clean this.
They will be fine. They, nothing real will happen.
No.
It's just you need to operate with the thought that, hey, yeah, if I hit him,
yeah,
I will have to see him in a place where there are no referees. And that's just a raw, the rule of law, right? That's just a law, man. That has nothing to do with basketball. And,
hey, man,
we'll be fine. Trust me.
I appreciate the, because, you know, I've actually said this one time where he's like, hey, man, there's no reason to do all this loud talking. You're scaring the women and children, man. Let's just go outside, figure this out. Yeah, I come back in and finish this meal. You know what I mean? Like, hey, we ain't got to do all that, you know, hold me back and throwing blows. First of all, punching a dude in the sternum is kind of like, I thought he hit him in the nuts.
Yeah, because the way he buckled, but when you looked at the Zapruder film,
it didn't buckling right there.
It just looked like he gave him a quick little jab,
little tap. Now let me ask you this: do you respect in a fight a man who punches another man in the jewels, or do you think anything is open season?
If
we're gonna find out a lot about Benny Goodall right here.
No,
picking up 2x4s on some double dragon stuff.
I mean, you have to ask me if I've seen someone actually get hit by a 2x4 before. For one,
you're from Detroit, so
yes, that's prerequisite.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. That was
I was neither the swinger nor the swingy.
Yeah. No, you're gonna implicate yourself. I got you.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm just happy to be
someone named Minnie Hoodwill.
No, absolutely not. Absolutely not. Ain't never even picked up a 2x4 from Home Depot. Couldn't even help you there, right? What I will say is this: if we are both acknowledging that we are in the fight, anything goes. But if one of us thinks we're in the fight and the other one does not think we're in the fight, then you got to operate with a level of decorum.
Yeah, yeah. You don't know if we're in a fight yet, so I can't go crazy. Is that what you said? Okay, gotcha. See, these are things men need to talk about on forums and platforms like this. I'm not mad at it. NBA players, make sure the other guy, like DeAndre, you should know that Ben didn't think he was in a fight because he was smiling so much. But by DeAndre's face, he knew that a fight would ensue at some point. And also, yeah, he also set up a reservation for the fight, too. He had an open table. He sent the invite to guests. You know what I mean?
He sent the resi, yes or no.
Will you accept?
Table for two.
Will you accept these hands? Yes or
we
no?
I'm just inquiring if you would like to have dinner. If not, I can sit at the bar. But if yes, we can have a nice table.
By the way, these are nice hands. So you're going to need that 10% in case you cancel. Because you look like you're about to cancel with all this laughing that you're doing over here. You know, you got to get me about to paint all of a sudden. I got to sit here and take it? Like, somebody got to catch it.
We charge 25% if your other party does not show up. So please.
There you go. And we got to seat you all together. Like, you can't bring James Johnson later. You know what I mean? If you bring James Johnson, who's on the Cleveland? There's always some old brother on the staff.
Tristan Thompson. Tristan.
I said the old brother on the staff, not old brother staff. Playing who shouldn't be playing.
I know the OG.
Who's the OG on the staff? Where it's like, who's the Mark Bryant where it's like, hey, man, you got to get James Johnson out of here so I can do what I got to do with the fair one with Ben Mathering? Because we all know that James Johnson's hands are certified weapons in every state that they go to.
Yes, that's what it is. So with that being said, because we got to bring it back to actual basketball. Jason
My bad.
You're good. Giannis Antetokounmpo.
Uh-oh.
We are at the point. Like, I don't think, Jay, that anything that came out today is a Shams report that says Giannis is more open to exploring opportunities outside of Milwaukee Bucks. I don't know if that's necessarily news, as we call it, but I think it's obviousness, especially on the day of the NBA draft lottery, where the draft positions will be slotted, where all of the NBA convenes in Chicago for the combine and everything else. It is perfect timing to start having these discussions. So let's assume, I'm not saying it's going to happen, but for the sake of discussion, let's say Giannis and the Bucks come to a conclusion. Hey, this train has gone as far as it can go, right? look, and there will be a discussion. It's considering what we've talked about with Jokic having one championship, that's not enough. Giannis having one championship, that's not enough. One championship will not save you. Cool. Where do you look at a Giannis Antetokounmpo with some decent trail on his tires, but decent miles on them tires at 30 years old, going to be 31 in December, if you had to pick a reasonable place? Reasonable.
Okay. So the Bulls are out of it. All right,
yes,
go
the
ahead.
Bulls are
go
out.
Ahead, go ahead. Go ahead. A reasonable place. Team that doesn't look backwards in terms of rebuilding and is always trying to figure out who the next guy is. I would fashion to think that the Miami Heat would be a decent, or you stay in the Eastern Conference, you stay away from that Western Conference smoke, right? If you're talking about Bam and some things, right? They gonna ask for Tyler Hero if you want to do that.
He's from Milwaukee. You take him.
Yeah, he is from the Mill, exactly. Pat Riley is out here getting up in age on the Jerry Jones tip. You want to win one before he rides off into the sunset. He having press conferences talk about, you know, I wouldn't do it again, and I hope he burned in hell. You know, that's what I got from it, from him talking about Jimmy Butler as a Golden State Warrior. So, like, if the Miami Heat are calling, and on top of it, if you're Giannis, like, I thought this was going to happen before they got Drew Holiday as a Milwaukee Buck, before he won his champ, like, you know, when he won his championship, oh, he stayed in Milwaukee and he did it. There are only Dirk Nowitzki, Kobe Bryant. There have only been a certain guys who stayed their whole career. I'm like, wait a minute. The year or two leading up to that you know, game 7 50-point bomb he put on the Phoenix Suns, he was shaking the table, not gently shaking it, but he was like, hey, Eric Bledsoe ain't going to cut it, gang.
Lightly applied pressure.
That's it.
But he was carrying a 2x4 in his hand. That's all. He was just carrying the 2x4 like Hacksaw Jim Duggan. Just, hey, this is with me. yeah, that's
shout
it.
Out, shout out to Hacksaw Jim Duggan.
That's all.
He was Googles, kids.
He was carrying it with him just in case they go get Drew Holiday. He carried it again with him just in case they got Damian Lillard. And then what happens when you do that is you wind up draining yourself of all your picks, all your young players, all your assets. And you wind up being in such a bad spot that you don't have reason for optimism internally to say, now that Dame is out with an Achilles, this is where we can go. You traded Chris Middleton for Kyle Kuzma. That didn't work. Like, it's really hard. This is why I give organizations some grace, because these aren't clowns who are running organizations.
Right.
When you are desperate to keep your star, you know you're going to make bad deals that you have to pay the bill for on the back end. You just don't know when the bill is due. And Giannis has spent, I think this is 12 years in Milwaukee, 11 years in Milwaukee, since he drafted in 13. This is 25. Charles Barkley, I think, spent 7 years in Philly. And we felt like Charles Barkley spent a lifetime in Philly,
yeah.
Right? LeBron James, spent 7 years in Cleveland with that first stint. Kevin Durant spent, I believe, 7 years in Oklahoma City before leaving. LeBron Giannis has given them a lot of time, and you've won a championship, and you won a grand total of one playoff series, as I mentioned earlier, against your Chicago Bulls in 22, and you haven't gotten the first round in the last couple of years. This is right around the time where the player starts getting itchy and saying, hey, you know what? It's been great. We've had a great run. I've kept that building full as long as it's been there. I gave you a championship. Now it's time. Can you please send me somewhere where you can get the best return, but send me where I want to go? And this should not be, when it comes down to it, this should not be one of those angry trade requests, or where the Bucks are pissed off at Giannis and you didn't do right by the organization. No, both sides did by and large right by each other. So the Houston Rockets are going to come calling, Jason. San Antonio Spurs might come calling. If the New York Knicks can find a way to get their draft picks back, they only have, I think, a grand total of 2 first-round picks over the next, like, 5 years, because you traded everything for a fifth starter. Mikal Bridges is a fifth starter on a team that's not good enough to beat the Celtics. you're going to have to wait to find a way to maybe offload him, offload some other guys to get something back, to get yourself in the Giannis conversation. But those are kind of the only teams that I feel like are realistically there, Jason. It's not like it's a plethora. And I don't know if he wants to go to Oklahoma City and play.
I was about to say, too, you spent those 12 years in Milwaukee, right? And you've been like one of the basketball gods of this generation. You know, I don't care what anybody says, man. Yeah. At the end of these careers, these dudes are looking for lifestyle, their family to be comfortable, outside, you know, ventures. I mean, Bron went to L.A. and set up shop and did everything that he had to do outside the court. And oh, by the way, you win your bubble championship, whatever the case may be. But what I'll ask you is, if you are one of these potential suitors, how is his game year 13 through 17 going to look? Now, you know, of course, we're in an age where dudes are playing for 18, 19 years. But, you know, his jump shot come along enough? Has his free throw shooting come along enough? Has his playmaking ability? Because, you know, low cats, once they lose something, you gotta be able to kick that thing. You got to be able to move that thing. Like, I know he's a guy who dabbles around the four assist area, but will his game age the way that any potential suitor thinks it should for a foundational piece, or are we talking come here and be the dude piece? Because if you go to Houston, you're coming there to be the dude,
yes, right?
Because they're in an interesting situation now where you paid a lot of young guys very early. I mean, in their age clock, right? You got Fred VanVleet with the $44 million team option, I believe. Like, there's some conversations. You need Jalen Green, the outlier being game two instead of that being the norm. Like, there's some real conversations that have to happen. So if you drop him in that mix, he is immediately the dude. Whereas if he does, like, you know, if he goes somewhere, and I know we're not talking about the Lakers, but
if he goes, right.
Wait, the way Luka drops in with LeBron, it's like, okay, until you become the dude, LeBron will be here doing whatever you need him to do. You get dropped in Houston, you playing with a bunch of kids and a coach who's going hard at all times. I'd be interested to see how it looks long term. He's still going to get his numbers, but the effect and the impact and the gravity that he has on the team, I would love to see how that changes once he gets a change of scenery and also the guys that are around him. Because the Milwaukee, I mean, simply, they just haven't drafted well. You're not going to get people to come play there, right? Mm-hmm. So, I mean, Chris Middleton was an acquisition, right? He was a Detroit draft pick, if I'm not mistaken, right?
Yep, he's in the Brandon Jennings trade in 2014.
Yeah, the Brandon Jennings. Like, so it's like, you got to trade for people to come there. You have to draft well. And when that doesn't happen in a small market, I would be interested to see how much he wants to tempt fate with the city not being the attraction enough, or the style of play, or the coach not being an attraction, or just playing with him being an attraction. It's going to be some interesting times where Giannis, like you said, he did everything the Bucks could have ever hoped or wished for. I remember when they got down to summer league and Jason Kidd was like, yo, you're going to play him at point guard a little bit. I'm like, let's see what this 6'11", I called him Mega Pippen. I'm like, oh, this is Mega Pippen. This is the dude who's going to do all the things on a 10x scale. You can roll your eyes all you want.
No.
People heard and saw through the podcast and through the speakers of their AirPods or their car, rolled eyes by you, Detroit native Vinny Goodwill, when I mentioned the basketball royalty that is Scottie Pippen, the all-time NBA defender, the six-time NBA champion, the guy who Hugh Hollins is robbed of his glory in the Eastern Conference Finals. That's Scottie Pippen, okay? We wouldn't have been watching OJ's case in 94 if, you know, if things went a little bit differently. We would have been watching Scottie Pippen's chase of an NBA title, sir.
Okay, not if that's being said, not at the Jason Goff, the infomercial. The opinions made by Jason Goff are made by Jason Goff and Jason Goff alone. But here's what I will say. He said Scottie Pippen is NBA royalty. And if y'all seen Coming to America, y'all will get this line. I guess everybody needs a semi. I guess semi was royalty, right? I guess semi was royalty. You know?
Hey, when it was time for semi to go back to the palace and stop living like a pauper, he was down though, right? You know, go back and get that royal bath. Yeah, come on. Yeah, you can be royalty. You ain't got to be the king. Still get some of the, you know, the effects.
Yeah, There's a jack in every hand, and sometimes jacks walk.
Now,
for y'all play spades. Y'all know when y'all see a jack walk. Y'all like that jack walked.
Yeah, all right, cool. Jacks walk on a lot of tables.
That's fine. That's fine. Ain't walking in my hand. Now, for Giannis, I think it's important to note we place Jay so much focus on the old guys being old, KD, LeBron, Steph. We don't even think about the guys directly under them being turning into sneaky old, like Jokic turning into his 30s. Giannis going into age 31 with the tread on his tires, like he's been a high usage, high free throw line, high contact basketball player for the better part of like 7 or 8 years now.
High games, too.
High games, and the games that he's missed have been late in seasons around playoff time, which means those are high contact accumulation injuries, calves, ankles, knee, you know, stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
That those are the things that the new team is going to have to pay the bill on the back end. So it would behoove you, to your point, can Houston say, we're going to have Giannis and Amen Thompson on our team at the same time? Like, I would take the challenge. But baby, that's a real issue of, okay, do we have enough shooting around?
Shooting.
We got the defense figured out. We got the open court figured out. We have the dog in us figured out. Do we have enough of that other thing there? Like, those are the questions that you wind up having to ask. That's why the Kevin Durant thing is fascinating for them more so than the Giannis thing. But you also, to just the point, you have to figure out if your timeline as a young team matches up with his timeline. You ask, what can you have around Giannis? The question is, how close do Giannis and the second best player have to be on the league's hierarchy, right? Because if Dame Lillard got with Giannis maybe at 27, 28, as opposed to 32, having a different discussion.
Yeah.
Same thing that could happen with Giannis being 30 years old, going on 31, bigger money as he get these guys, the max guys. The problem with this is, to some degree, Jason, in this second tax apron world and in the CBA, as you get older, you make more money. And as you accumulate more accolades, you can take up a bigger percentage of the cap, which lessens the team's ability to actually go get another max guy. And if he's another old max guy, then you have the Lakers when they had LeBron and Anthony Davis. So you got to
feel about that.
You got to be careful.
How do you feel about this being the sport where, you know, I talked about this on my pod the other day too. Will the Warriors dynasty or dynastic run be the last one we see in a while?
Last one.
Yeah, because I think we're going to see like 5 or 6 one-offs coming up here where you've got enough young dudes who ain't waiting. And also, those dudes not waiting means they're going to get paid and they're going to be on the same teams, and then they're magically not going to be like that. Oklahoma City team ain't going to look like that in 2 years.
They can't.
Right? Like, Houston can't look like that in 2 years, like you mentioned. Like, so, yeah, the dynamic. Like, I don't personally, everyone loves parity until you get the team that it doesn't interest you in the finals or in the Super Bowl or in the World Series, right? Everybody loves, oh, let's get everybody. No, everybody ain't invited to these parties. Like, some of y'all are just franchise participants. But other than that, we came here to see the show. Like, I didn't vote on American Idol and get on the phone and type this, and this, and send it. No, I never did that. I'm not here for the amateur contest. I'm here for when your album drops. So when the Dynastic Warriors or, hell, that Heat run, and say what you want, but that 4 years, the NBA was on fire, right?
Must see,
like,
TV every
rivaling, rivaling football in terms of interest and conversation and the just soap opera dynamics. And even with the San Antonio Spurs, was like the good, evil empire, right? Where it's like they're nice guys, but they do things in such a machine and mechanical type of way that there has to be some kind of, like evil empire vibe to it. And then, of course, with the Bulls and the Pistons and the Lakers, like, I don't want for kids who are 10 years old now to not experience some of that, like, either loving or extremely hating
extreme.
It, like Knicks fans. Knicks fans who are my age, and I talked to them about the 90s, two totally different lived experiences, but that makes it dope. Now we're going to go from, all right, Boston and Denver and Oklahoma City, and Houston's coming up. Oh, don't forget about Memphis. Where's Zion going to be? Which is cool to talk about, but when we get down to it and boil it down. I'm here for prime time. I hate this team, or I'm supremely interested in this team, and they deserve to be here. Like that type of knocking off the champion and not having it be a one-off year after year. I can't wait to see how this unfolds over the next 6, 7, 10 years, where we're talking about this generation of basketball and what the aprons have done to it.
You want to have a signature, player, a signature franchise. And what the NBA is doing is we want to own 12 months out of the year. We want to be part of the conversation 12 months out of the year. It's hard to be able to do both of those things and have dynastic teams and have rivalries and have continuity and have dominance. It's just impossible to achieve all of those things. Speaking of dominance, when we come back, we're going to talk about the man who Scottie Pippen caddied to 6 championships.
Oh, here we go.
Welcome back. It's time for The Last Word here with Jason Goff. Jason, the man who was called Sitting Bull, the man who had a migraine headache, he was carried to 6 championships by Michael Jordan. Michael Jordan, Jason, from your hometown, the GOAT, all that good stuff. He's joining the NBA on NBC as a special contributor. Let's get this straight. I highly doubt that he's going to be on every single week. He ain't going to turn to Charles Barkley. Michael Jordan is a borderline recluse, right? He's not going to be on our TVs every week. Maybe it's essays. Maybe it's, something maybe that's
on anybody's schedule.
Yeah. He's not going to be debating Carmelo Anthony and saying, hey, Melo, let's go outside. Get your sneakers. I don't think it's going to be that sort of thing. But I do think it's important or favorable for the game's greatest player, because we've all seen to some degree. We saw Magic. It's really hard for great players to be seen in today's game, not just today, but great players to be seen in the game of the day, talking about the game without necessarily putting themselves or censoring themselves. I'm very curious to see how Michael Jordan, not the pitch man, but the man who gave the tearful Hall of Fame speech in 2009, how he shows up watching today's game.
So this is the thing. I don't think, one, Mike is as competitive with his analysis as people are going to expect him to be. I mean this with all due respect, he's never been terribly interesting when it comes to the things that he says, right? So with that being said, and on top of the fact that he understands where his place is in the hierarchy, like there might have been a few years there where it was like, oh, this LeBron thing, they starting to talk crazy over here. And then COVID, bam, Last Dance. By the way, just to let y'all know, run this back, MG, in case he wasn't around. Like Mike has, in this weird way, I won't say reclaim because then people are going to get mad at me and then, start coming to my career with, pitchforks and torches, right? But he is comfortably reclaimed. Yeah, this is the greatest player of all time. I don't have to have that conversation anymore. So when you talk about what you have to be in an analyst role, I don't know that Mike's going to be the guy that's out here breaking down. One, I don't know that he's watching basketball. Right. And that is.
I think he, from what I've gathered, and
he watches. This is what I'm saying. I don't know.
I think he watches. Well, I mean, because he watches dudes that he likes. Really,
okay. So gotcha. But because now dudes don't watch basketball who talk about it at a high level, right? Who have some of the best shows on TV, and they make no qualms about it. I love the fact that those dudes on inside the NBA pull up to the college game, be like, who's this guy? I don't know this team. I didn't watch this game. Like Charles said during the halftime of a tournament game this year, I wasn't watching that game. I was watching the game that I was betting on over here, the Auburn or the Michigan State game, whatever the case may be. Like, if he's going to watch the games and all, like, what capacity is Michael Jordan going to be in? And then on top of that, what can Mike do to improve his legacy anymore? Yeah. Like, you get to a point where anything now is just
what's better than number one. Like,
right. The emperor is just gonna be walking around butt naked, and people gonna be like, "Oh, look at his toes!" Like, Mike's gonna have his malaprops. Mike's gonna have some things where he mentions guys, and or is he going to be the guy? Like, for instance, I love Shaq, right? But Shaq's thing kind of got old because it was always these players aren't as good as, especially centers, weren't as good as I was. And that kind of left him short of, okay, but analyze what's going on here for me. Tell me what they should be doing and not just, you should go out and get 35, 40. How's Michael going to embrace that conversation of what he should be doing or what? Because these dudes who are amazing players, they turn out to be poor coaches for a reason. Because they look at dudes who are average and be, hey, go be great. Ready, break. Right? Like, what is Mike's character or role going to be in this situation?
Being to verbalize the basketball intellect is going to be the fascinating thing, as opposed to, like you just said, go, you know, just do what I did. You see the rim there, right?
You can't go get 40? What's wrong with you?
You can't. Yeah, I know it's a defender in front of you, but shoot over him or drive by him, period.
What Shaq says is like, you got to just go get 35, 40. Now I'm like, fam, do you know? I mean, you do know.
28 and 15. Shaq, you never averaged 28 and 15. Bro, what are you talking about? And here's the thing. I don't think Mike sits in a spot because Shaq, to some degree, felt like a hater when he was playing.
Oh yeah,
Mike feel like a dude that holds grudges against like just those dudes. Like,
different form of hate though.
Yeah,
different form of hate. If you can hold a grudge for against a dude who, and make a story up in your head just so that you can,
yeah, that's true,
you know, conquer that beast, that's a different form of hate. You know, that's dry hating to yourself.
but would he say player X sucks? I don't think he would say if I got a. Because remember, he will say, you know, Clyde Drexler, he was a threat, but I wanted to show that was a difference. You know, he hated on him and Zeke got their thing. Yeah. And he would say Isaiah Thomas, the greatest, you know, second greatest point guard of all time behind Magic Johnson. Like, those sort of things. So I'm fascinated in how, especially if today's game stays in this physical place, I think insight from someone who had to deal with that physical play, who played in a game that is a little more analogous to today's game, there is some value in that. And I think if it's a game you don't recognize, that's a little bit harder to talk about. But if it's a game that you can see a little bit of yourself in, and not just like, oh, I see myself in Anthony Edwards type of thing, but I see myself in this game, then I think there's some value there. I'm just completely fascinated at the thought of him and Carmelo Anthony and him just being fed up with Carmelo and saying, go get the shoes. I got the shoes. Like, you need to worry about it. I know your shoe size. You work for me. Let's go outside right now.
Hey, I think we just cracked the case. Adam Silver knew that this was getting ready to happen. So he made sure that the postseason before Mike returned to the NBA in this fashion looks like 80s and 90s basketball to make it easier for his guy. You know what I mean? Cash cow going to be the cash cow no matter what.
King stay the king.
I'm a little protective too, and I never thought I would be this way when it comes to Mike, because I was always the kid who was like, yeah, Scottie Pippen was my favorite Bull, and like Mike was the god, but Dominique Wilkins was my, you know, favorite. Like, you know what I mean? Like, it was like, okay, that's the dude, but I got other guys. But I'm a little protective in this manner of like, you don't want him to go out there and have like a Magic Johnson
magic
talk
hour.
Show kind of run.
Yeah.
Where you go back and look at, you know, shout out to Pete Rock Soul Survivor album where he made a clip of Magic talking about, I think, a playoff game at the end. And he said, Magic said, hey, I'm feeling it. I'm doing good. This is my game. And I'm like, this is what we used to think was analysis back in the day. Now you got dudes breaking down like hedges, picking roll coverages, this, that, and the other, getting real in the weeds with it. Are we going to go back to the Magic Johnson hour of, hey, man, he just said to him, take this and in your eye. You know what I'm
saying?
You know what I mean? Did he just did what I think he did?
I don't think.
Because, you know, Mike's still country as hell. Like, let's not get it twisted. Mike's still out here drinking Mike is still Mike. Tea, you know what I'm saying?
Mike is still a country kid from North Carolina. Don't you forget that. But that, shout ladies and gentlemen, is my man Jason Goff. Jason,
ain't gonna kill me.
I appreciate you, dog. Nope. Everybody gonna have a good time listening to this, especially the people who listen to the raw audio. My man, sir. I appreciate you.
Always,
thanks to
brother.
Thanks to producer Dakota and the entire team that worked so hard behind the scenes on this show. I'll be back later on this week from God knows where, because they shipping me around like FedEx packages, for another episode of The Good Word. Until then, everybody be safe.